And so tonight, sharing the good news, we're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 28. You can go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 28. And this is before Jesus' ascension, he issued what has been called the Great Commission. It's been called the Great Commission. A commission is an authoritative command, a directive. It's a command. When Jesus spoke this, he was giving the church their marching orders. He was telling us exactly what he expected us to do in his physical absence. And the message was so powerful, and the disciples' witness was so effective that they were accused of turning the world upside down in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. However, that was then, and this is now. We're looking at today. And what was given as the Great Commission had turned into what author Dallas Willard has said would be the Great Omission, meaning that something is left out, undone, neglected. Our orders were not to sit by while the world walks down the road of destruction. Our orders were to go into all the world and tell them the news of a crucified and risen Savior who specializes. Come on, he's special forces. Come on, he's the elite team. And he specializes in saving souls and in changing lives. Come on, that's a good thing. And he specializes that, and the Great Commission was addressed not only to pastors, evangelists, or missionaries, but to all believers. It was not just to one individual or to just a select few of individuals. It was to everybody, to all of us. And so tonight, as we look at this, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, it's going to be up on the screen as well. But my prayer is tonight, as we read this and we go through this, that God reveals truth to you. Maybe there's something that will be said tonight that will go, you know what? Maybe I'm missing it just a little bit, and maybe this is the one area that I need to do, the one area that I need to work on just a little bit. Because I can be honest with you, it's no doubt that it is the Great Omission. It really is. Because a lot of us, we just come and we get comfortable and we can sit around and we can just do our weekly thing. We can show up and not do anything and then just go home and sit there and go to work and do our thing and forget about everybody else because we get tunnel vision. And we can go, I just need to do my thing. You stay out of my way. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. And we just keep our mouths closed and we don't say anything, but that's not what God is telling us to do. It says this. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, and after reading this over the past few weeks, I've been asking myself the question, what has happened to the church? I've been asking myself that question. I was even talking to somebody tonight, and I said, what is the purpose of the church? What are we to do? What are we supposed to be doing? And I think about that over and over and over again, and I go, what has happened to the church? And it's not just you, but it's also me. Because we're all in this together. It's not one-sided. And so after reading this over and over, somehow we've come to a place to be satisfied with being saved, but not motivated to see others come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've come to a place where we're satisfied to, this is great, this is awesome, I like this. This feels really good, don't push me out of my comfort zone. And why am I looking down? I'm not looking down because I'm embarrassed of looking at you. No, I'm looking down because I say, this is my square. Don't push me out of it. I've got my spot. Don't move me. I'm planted. Don't move me anywhere. Don't tell me to go out there. Don't tell me to talk to so-and-so. Okay, what if it's God telling you to do it? Now what? Because God's the one who's telling us to go and share the gospel. And in this season that we're in, prime time to share the gospel of Jesus. It's the prime time. People are ready. People are ready to hear it. I go down each week with a group of individuals down to the treatment center. And I walk out of that place every single week going, what's going to happen to them next? What's tomorrow going to hold for them? What is it they leave? I see them on a Saturday. What's going to happen in that next week? God, give me a word that's going to motivate them to stay. That's going to keep them there as long as they can, so that way they can hear the gospel message at least one more time. And maybe they hear it, and maybe there's a life change. Not because I pat Pastor Paul's back. No, that's not the reason. It's because we're to go into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somewhere along the way, the church has pulled the covers over complacency and apathy over their heads and fallen into a deep sleep of self-satisfaction and comfort as the world continues to walk the road of destruction. You know, has the Great Commission become the Great Omission? Are we as a church doing everything we can to find the inroads of outreach into the world around us? The conditions and difficulties and dangers and any other excuses we have up our sleeve, the Great Commission still stands. All of us have our excuses. All of us have our things of, I can't do that and I can't say this and I'm not able to do that in my place. Okay. But what about the parking lot? What about the lunchroom? What about those areas of that you can? Hey, do you want to go to lunch today? Let's go to lunch. You want to grab a coffee before work today? God's placed you beside individuals for a reason. He's placed you in the paths of those individuals' lives for a reason. And it's to share the good news. God still expects his people to take the message to the lost and dying world so that all may hear the good news of Jesus. Or what you may have been noticing is that people are emphasizing Christmas. They've been emphasizing the first word there, Christmas. Christmas. They're capitalizing it. They're making it bigger. They're trying to make it prominent. But you know, the first thing that I see from the scripture is that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, to Jesus. And in this verse, the word power means authority, the right to use power. When you read the book of Matthew, it stresses the authority of Jesus. Listen to Matthew chapter 7:29. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. We go on to see that in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 29, it says, for I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to go, to one, go. This is about the jailer, the man who knew what was going on. He understood authority. Jesus was there. He understood the authority. And this man runs up to him. He goes, I understand what you're talking about. And the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Matthew chapter 9. And they got into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he arose and went home. Matthew chapter 10. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority. Come on. If he's given the 12 authority, he's given you authority. Over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal their every disease and every affliction. And seeing here where Matthew made it clear that Jesus has all authority, we see that clearly the early church operated on the basis of the Lord's sovereign authority. The same is true for you and me, and we share the good news of Christmas. It's important that we depend on Jesus' power and guidance as we minister in his name. Not on the basis of our own authority, but on the authority of Jesus. And really, to be honest with you, we all have a story. I've said that many times from here. We all have a story. You have a story to tell. Somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to know your story. What is your story? Some of you, I look around this room and I go, I don't know your story. And then some of you are looking back at me and you're going, well, I don't know your story either. Well, that means that maybe we need to hook up. Maybe we need to have a little chat. Maybe we need to have a little conversation. Okay, maybe not hook up. I'm already hooked up. Jeez, 21st century, my word. So do I. But we all have a story to tell, and unless we have an encounter with Jesus, we have no motivation to share with others. Did you catch that? Unless you have an encounter with Jesus, you will not have the motivation to share it with somebody else. So why do we talk so much about discipleship? Why do we talk so much about prayer? Why do we talk so much about being in worship? Why do we talk so much about being together? Why do we talk about all that? Because you need a little bit of encouragement in your life, just like I do, to go right back out there and have a little boldness and share our story. That's why. And maybe to be equipped along the way and to have an opportunity to maybe, if you grasp something tonight, you can go back and say, man, I didn't know about that. Man, that's something new. I need to share that with somebody. You know, the best thing that you can do, and this is something they actually tell you when you're in school, is that when you learn something, understand it to the point that you can go back and teach it. Because when you teach it, you're going to learn something just a little bit more than the first time. You will. You're going to glean a little bit more. You're going to do a little bit more research. You're going to do a little bit more study. You're going to have that authority behind it as well because you did your own work. But if we have given our hearts and lives to him and have felt the joy and peace of his forgiveness, you have a message to share. Has anybody felt that? Has anybody sensed the joy of the Lord in their life? Has anybody sensed or known that they've been forgiven of the sins that they've committed? If we all have, then you have a story to share. And you can go out and you can go and tell everybody about it. Notice I never said anything about this right here. I never told you to go and thump somebody on the head and start teaching them the Bible. No. I said, you have a story. It's your story that's going to impact the individual. That might just open up a door for you to make that conversation and have that opportunity to say, guess what? I know what Christ did with me, and I know he can do it for you. I know he can. Did you feel alone? Have you felt the depression? Have you had the thoughts of suicide? Have you seen things of pornography? Have you walked through the guilt? Have you walked through the shame? All of us have. And the story that we have to share is one of forgiveness that says you don't carry shame anymore. You don't carry guilt anymore. You've been set free of those things, the addictive things in your life, the thought processes. You've been set free of that. And you can go and tell other people because it's not in your own strength. It's not anything that you could have done. It's what God did in your life. And that's the best part about it. It's your story. Share your story. The second thing we see is activity. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The Greek word translated go is actually not a command, but a present participle. It's actually going. A lot of us think that that's what we're supposed to do is go. No, this is a going, okay? Going. The only command in the entire Great Commission is to make disciples, to teach all nations. Jesus said, while you are going, make disciples of all nations. This reminds us that no matter where we are, we should be witnesses for Jesus and seek to win others to him. Warren Wiersbe wrote, and I quote, in many respects, we've departed from this pattern. In most churches, the congregation pays the pastor to preach, win the lost, and build up the saved, while the church members function as cheerleaders, rah-rahs, woo-hoo, if they are enthusiastic or spectators. The converts are won, baptized, and given the right hand of fellowship, and then they join the other spectators. How much faster our churches would grow, and how much stronger and happier our church members would be if each one were discipling another believer. Wiersbe goes on to say, the only way a local church can be fruitful and multiply instead of growing by additions is with a systematic discipleship program. And this is the responsibility of every believer, and not just a small group who have been called to go. It's not enough to win people to the Savior, but we must teach them the Word as well. We've got to teach them the Word of God. This thing called discipleship, we're all in it. What it means is that you are a learner. You are a learner. Keep learning. Don't stop learning. You're never going to stop learning unless you just close the book and not read anymore and don't listen to any podcasts and don't watch television, become basically a hermit. You're not going to learn anything. But be a disciple. And also be a disciple maker. Come on, it's two-sided here. Let's allow somebody to teach us. I'm being taught as I'm teaching others. You're being taught as hopefully you're teaching others and sharing the good news. The third thing that we see is the ability. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, Paul discovered this when he was seeking to establish a church in the city of Corinth. Man, this was a messed up city. You can read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. You can go read Acts and see what's going on there as well. But this was a messed up city. This was literally like the Las Vegas of that area, and completely just messed up. Lots of stuff going on, and but we see that Paul actually discovered this ability and understood that. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Paul was obeying the commission. And I want to look at this as we break this down. Acts chapter 18, verse 1, it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. He goes to Corinth. While he's there, he meets a man named Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, and believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized. Come on, we see this beginning to happen. We see this whole process take place. And then in 18:11, he says, and he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And then in 18:9 and 10, we see, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but I'm going on speaking. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. I'm with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a plan. He's the Lord of history. And as we, the church, continue to follow his lead and his word, we will be fulfilling his purpose on earth. And it'll come to an end one day. It will come to an end one day. How soon? I don't know. There's many speculations. I mean, come on, it happened last year. Well, after this is what's going to happen. And he's coming back. He is. He is. So let's be ready. Let's just be ready for him to come. Let's not try to figure out the time or the day. You're not going to do it because the Son of God doesn't even know. Okay, he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know either. Only God the Father knows when the time is right. But until then, we must be faithful to reach the lost and disciple people. As I close tonight, D.L. Moody made a covenant with God that he would witness for Christ to at least one person each day. And one night, about 10 o'clock, he realized that he had not yet witnessed. So we went out into the streets, and he spoke to a man standing by a lamppost, asking him, "Are you a Christian?" The man flew into a violent rage and threatened to knock Moody into the gutter. Later, the same man went to an elder in the church and complained that Moody was doing more harm in Chicago than 10 men were doing good. The elder begged Moody to temper his zeal with knowledge. 3 months later, Moody was awakened at the YMCA by a man knocking at the door. It was the man he had witnessed to. "I want to talk to you about my soul," he said to Moody. He apologized for the way he had treated Moody and said that he had no peace ever since that night on Lake Street when Moody witnessed to him. And that night, Moody led the man to Christ and he became a zealous worker in the Sunday school. You know, I'm not saying that this body is this, but I don't want to see this body or this church or any church, really, honestly, the church at large. I don't want to see them miss out on the Great Commission to where we're labeled and it's the Great Omission. I don't want to be missing out on something that God wants to do. And the biggest thing, I talked about it this week. Why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost. He's the Savior of the world. That's why he came. That's the whole purpose of why Jesus came. That's the whole purpose of the good news. He came to save sinners just like me, just like you. Who you call a sinner? I am. Because I am a sinner who's saved by grace, who messes up all the time. who has to get on his knees and say, God, forgive me. Do I know the good news? Yeah. Do I get it right all the time? No. But I know that he's there and he loves me. And he wants me to share the good news with people of this community. So let's not get caught up and more concerned about buildings that are than about people. Let's not be more interested in having our meetings than we are about fulfilling the mission. Let's not be more interested in our personal comfort than we are with those who are outside these walls. Let's not be more concerned about the color of someone's skin than we are about their soul. Let's not let the Great Commission become the great omission in our lives. And if it has, and it's not an urgency, there's not this sense of urgency to share the gospel, then can I just say, get on your knees and begin to seek him and say, God, give me a heart for the lost. I'm going to say it again, and you're going to get tired of hearing it because I'm going to say it all through 2018. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. And to share just a little bit more, God gave me a number, and that number's 1,000 individuals, 1,000 visitors over the next year. 1,000. And I began to cry because I go, God, I can't do that. And he goes, Paul, you're right. Because I wasn't asking you to do it alone. Praise God. But if he asked me to do it, I would. 1,000 individuals, church. Between here and Squim. 1,000 visitors, 500 individuals on Easter Sunday. It's not going to happen just with one individual. It can't. Hear the heart of your pastor tonight. And I know you're probably going, where's the rest of everybody else? Where's everybody else in this? Why are you telling us this tonight? That's the reason why maybe we should be talking a little bit more to people on Sunday and saying, hey, you need a beer on Sunday night. And bringing people in and talking to them. But I go, it's too much. But I have a story to share. You have a story to share. And 1,000 people, with all of us here, what is that? 5 or 10 individuals that you talk to and say, hey, I want to invite you. I want to invite you. I want you to come. It's, don't move me. Holy Spirit, okay. I'm moving a little bit. I'll reach out this way and this way, and I'll go this way and this way. But don't ask me to move 5 squares forward and 5 squares to the left and 5 squares to the right or 5 squares to the back. Or don't ask me to get on the phone and call my neighbor. Don't ask me to talk to my coworker. Can I just be real with you? Do you think God's going to just like leave you hanging if you're obedient to him? Do you really think that God's going to keep you hanging if you're obedient to him? Because do you think that that person that's in your job or your neighbor or your whoever it is or wherever you're at, the supermarket, you're down there at the grocery store, you're wherever you're at, I don't think God's going to just leave you hanging. I think if God's asking you to tell somebody about Jesus and tell them about his son, that if you got fired, he's got another door for you. He's not going to leave you hanging. And I think that's where our flesh comes in and we go, if I say something, I'm going to lose my job. Or they're not going to like me. Or they're not, whatever goes on up here, I know my thoughts, okay? I don't know your thoughts, but my thoughts, my thoughts were, I'm going to get fired, they're not going to like me, they're not going to want to talk to me, they're going to shut, whatever it may be. Okay, let's take it back to Scripture. What happened to Jesus in the place that he was at, in his own hometown? His family despised him. It's going to happen to us. I'm going to talk about this at the beginning of the year, but suffering is not something that we talk about in the church. Guess what? If you have Jesus in your life, suffering is a part of it. It's a part of it. When you said yes, that's there. You can't get around it. God has your back. Share the good news this year. As we completely wrap this up, I know it was only a two-part series, but boy, it was a pretty powerful two-part series. But I just have to say, next week, just because we don't have a service like this next week with worship and a message, and all, don't miss next week. There's flyers in the back. Grab them and use it as an opportunity for you to hand them to somebody and say, you're invited to come next week. Let's pack this place out. Let's see this place completely full on Sunday morning. Let's see this place completely full on Sunday night. Why do we have to wait for January to see 1,000 visitors come walking through our door? Let's not wait. Because I don't know that I have tomorrow. I don't know that I have all this week. You don't know. The urgency is inside of me, church. The urgency is inside of me to see those individuals. And I know there's a lot of people in this town. But there's a lot of individuals who are wandering, searching. Searching desperately for something to hold on to. They want it. They need it. And guess what? You are the source. You are the individual that's going to speak to them.